Organizer for the invitation, and I will expose a result which is a joint work with Bertrand Thouer, and which is about some introduction to. So let X be a smooth, compact, analytic variety over C. And we consider the derived category of sheaves of OX module on X. And we consider the perfect object, so the perfect complexes of OX module. Perfect complexes is a bounded complexes of locally free sheaves of finite rank. And there is a result of Bondal and Vandenberg, which says that if X is algebraic, that means if X is in fact a scheme over C, then this derived category is saturated. So saturated. In the sense of Bondal and Vandenberg, this means that for any object xi in this triangle, so for any triangulated category, we have a definition of saturated. So if D is a triangulated category, we say that this category is saturated if for any object the x is finite. What is the x? This is the sum of all the x between them is finite. And any finite tap cohomological functor, so it is representable. So this is a finiteness condition on the triangulated category. And the question is to know if it is possible to characterize, in fact, the algebraic variety by some condition in this triangulated category. In fact, we are not going to consider the derived category, which is a triangulated category, but we are going to consider a DG category, which is naturally associated. And we are going to consider what I call LPX. I will explain later what is exactly, which is the DG category. There is a relation between this DG category and the triangulated category, the derived category, the homotopical category associated to this DG category is in fact the derived category. And we have the following theorem, so from which says that X is algebraic if and only if LPX is saturated. So we have to define what is the notion of saturated DG category, and to see that there is in fact a relation between this notion of saturated for the DG category and for the derived category. So in the first part, I will say something about DG category. So in this part, K is any commutative ring, but in fact, here we are going to consider only the case where the ring is filled C, but all is true for any ring. And I say a DG category, so is in fact a category which is enriched over what I call CK, which is the category of complexes of K modules. And two, if T is a DG category, I can associate to T a new category, which is T between bracket, which is what I call the homotopical category associated to T. And which is defined by this category as the same object. So the object of this category are the same as the object of the DG category. And the morphism in this category is the H0 of the morphism in the DG category. So this is, I recall, this is belong to CK. So in fact, T between brackets is a carlinear category. So I will. Now, if I have T, which is a DG category, I will consider the T-op module, which is the DG category of T-op DG modules, and which is, by definition, the category of functor F from T-op to CK, which is a CK functor. If you want, this is a DG analog of modules in the case of a linear category. And as CK is as a structure of model category, we can undo P-op mod with the projective model structure. So this is also a model category. And in this category, in fact, any object is vibrant, and we define int of T op mod, which is a sub DG category of co-fibrant objects. And now there is a result that if I consider the homotopical category which is associated to this one in T of mod, in fact, this is equivalent to the homotopical category of T of mod. So this is in the sense of model category. And there is another result, the Yoneda. We have a Yoneda morphism from T to T of mod. And in fact, Yoneda factors through the cofibrant object. And I will call this T bracket, T hat. So this is will be a definition T hat. This is the cofibrant object, the cofibrant T of DG modules. And why we consider this this new category? This is because, in fact, Yoneda gives us this map of DG category. So we can consider now the map between the homotopical category. And this new category, in fact, is a triangulated category. For any DG category T, the homotopical category associated is not triangulated, but this one, because in fact the model structure on T-op mod is stable, in fact, this one is a triangulated category. Now we are going to consider what is the thick closure of T in T hat. And for this, we are going to introduce the notion of perfect object. So if X is in T hat, I say that X is perfect if and only if X is homotopical yes, I will say that in that sense. So is homotopically finitely presented. So this is the homotopical version of finitely presentation. That means that for any filtered system high, we have the collimit of map from X to I, which is quasi equivalent to the map of X to the O-collin I. So this is just an analogous of the finite representation in the case of category. Now I consider T at P, which is the subcategory, the full subcategory of perfect object. In T hat, and I can do the following remark. First, if I consider the homotopical category of perfect object, in fact, this is the compact object in this triangulated category. So this is compact object in the sense of Niemann, for instance. But maybe there is another. So this is the first remark. And the second remark is that, in fact, for any X in T HX, which is the image by the Yoneda, is perfect. And, in fact, the perfect object is the smallest sub-triangulated category of T hat, which contain T. So in some sense, the perfect object in T hat are the generalization of the object of T. And we will say that T, for instance, is triangulated if T is equivalent to T hat perfect. So I will give you an example. And maybe this is the only example we need for this talk, but we can consider the B, which is a DG algebra. So B is a DG algebra. And we can consider T, which is a DG category with one object, and such that the morphism between this object is exactly B. In that case, we see that, in fact, the B modules, the B op modules are exactly the B op DG modules. We see that X as B op module is perfect if and only if X is perfect as complex of B modules. That means that X is a complex of projective B modules of finite type. It's a bonded, that means X is a bounded complex, or is quasi-isomorphic complex of projective B modules of finite stars. Why?
I mean, what do you mean by complex?
Ah, yes. In the case of B, it's a... Yes, right. No, maybe I have to not to say that in this moment, because I will use this when B is smooth and proper. And so yes, you're right. It's not okay. So it's not exactly this. In general, we cannot say that. So I'm sorry, but I don't want to write it because I will use something later. So now I can maybe define what is the notion of saturated yes, maybe. Yes. No, but this definition is what I will use later in the case where B is smooth. So, but we can define a BDG, a perfect BDG module. Yes. But I don't want to go further in this direction. So now I can define what is a saturated, so T DG category. I say that T is saturated if and only if first T is triangulated. That means that in fact H between T and T at P is a quasi-equivalent of DG categories. And the second condition is that, in fact, there exists B, which is a smooth and proper DG algebra, such that T hat is quasi equivalent to B up hat. And what means for DG algebra to be smooth and proper? So B DG algebra. So over K, B is proper if B is perfect as an element of CK, and B is smooth if B is perfect as element of B tensor B up. And now I have the following remark. If B is a smooth proper DG algebra, if I take X, which is a B module, X is proper if and only x is perfect, sorry, if and only if x is perfect as element of Ck. That means that the underlying complex of k modules is perfect. But this is only true if I assume that B is smooth and proper. Mod, sorry, yes. Thank you. So, now we have the definition of saturated, and we have some proposition. We say that if T is a saturated DG category, so with this definition, then the homotopical category T, which is a triangulated category by definition, is a saturated triangulated category with the definition of Bondal and Vandenberg. Okay. There is also a remark that if T is saturated, we see by condition 2 that in fact T has a compact generator. So this is a remark that we will use. If T is saturated, then T hat as a compact generator E, and we have T at E, which is in fact B up, which is the DG algebra which used in the definition of saturation. So this is what I have to say about the DG category. And now I just want to consider the DG category associated to the sheaf on an analytic variety. So X is an analytic variety. We can consider what I call Cx, which is the DG category of complexes of OX module. So we can see that in fact on Cx we have a structure of model category. And in fact, this is, we have also a tensor project, and Cx is a symmetric monoidal model category. And in fact, the structure of model category on Cx is compatible with the structure of C, which is the structure on the complex of C modules. And we can now consider int of Cx, which is the fibrant and cofibrant objects. So as I told you, if I consider the homotopical category associated to this, I obtain the category, the homotopical category in the sense of a model category of Cx, which is exactly the derived category of OX module on X. And in Bx, I can consider the category of complexes where the cohomology is coherent. And in this one, I have the category of perfect complex. as in the introduction. And in the same way, here I can consider in int of CX what I call perfect, which is in fact the subcategory of perfect object. And this is what I call LPX, which is a triangulated category of the theorem that I gave in the introduction. So if you want, LPX, this is a category of fibrant and cofibrant complexes, perfect complexes of OX module on X. And we have that triangulated category, the homotopical category associated to this one is the derived category. And so the saturation by the proposition which is over, if this DG category is saturated, then the derived category is saturated. Okay. Now, for a moment, I will forget DG category and I will speak about geometric context. So this is maybe the part two. So this is a general way to make geometry. What is a geometric context? So definition. The geometric context is the following data. So C tau T. So C is a category. So what I assume with some properties there is a I just need a finite limit. So with finite limits, with finite sum, and there is some other property. Tau is a Grothendieck topology. On C. And P is a class of morphism. So with some assumption, some properties, I don't, for instance, we want that the morphism are stable by composition, by, we want that in some sense the property to be in P is local for the topology and so on. So it's some compatibility condition between these three data. And once we have a geometric context, we can define the spaces, the geometric spaces, in the following sense. So we consider first the category of sheaf. So on the site C tau. And we want to glue now the representable object in the category of sheaf along the map which belongs to P. So we can define what are the n geometric sheaves. We want to define the n representable map F between sheaves. And we want to define also the n representable map in P. So we are going to give a definition by induction, and for n it's equal to minus 1. So we begin the introduction at minus 1. We say that F is minus 1 geometric if and only if F is representable. Oh yes, I forgot maybe something. that the topology here is subcanonical. So in fact, I can consider C as a subcategory of the sheaf for this topology. And here we have fully faithful and B. So if F is minus one geometric, if F is representable, that means that F belongs to C. I say that the map between two sheaves is minus one representable if and only if for any x in C and any map from x on G, the pullback F cross x over G is in C. And what means that this map is in P. So S, which is a minus one representable map, S is in P, if and only if, for any x over G where x is in P, the map from F cross x over G in x is in P. As this is belongs to C, we can define this. And now by induction, we assume we have the definition for M smaller than N. So we assume that we have the definition of M geometric sheaves, M representable map, and M representable map in P. And I say that F is N geometric if only if there exists what I will call an N atlas of F, which is a collection xi of objects in C, and a map from the direct sum xi in the category of sheaves. So we want first that a collection of map, and the property is first that this map is an EP in the category of sheaves. This is the first condition, and the second condition is XIS is N minus one representable and in P. And now we can add the definition of N representable map also by induction. So which is a map in the sheaf is N representable if and only if for any x over G where x is in C. The fiber F cross x over G is N geometric, and F is in P if and only if I take an atlas if I is n minus 1 atlas, no, n atlas, sorry, of the fiber, all the map y, I, x are in P. Just I I will now give you example. The example I will consider What do you mean by what is?
Well, what's the n-apples got to do with n?
Oh, in some sense, this is some representable object which make a covering of the.
What is the n?
Oh, n. Ah, yes, I am. Because we have this notion of n minus 1 representable. When you say that something is an n-atlas, we assume some property which is about the n minus 1 representability of this map. Maybe we can have something which is an n-atlas and it is not m-atlas or m which is different from n. I don't know if it's... in fact, there is some remark, for instance. Maybe it's not very important. But in that case, we need only to consider minus 1, 0, and 1 geometric object. Because if F is n geometric for n bigger than 1, this implies that F is n minus 1 geometric. So it's 1 geometric. So in fact, in the case of sheaths, we have only to consider three classes of geometric objects. The minus 1 objects are by definition the representable one. If you want, this is the minus 1 geometric. The analogy is a fine object. The zero geometric objects correspond to the objects with a fine diagonal. And the one geometric object are all the geometric objects. But we will see later that it is only the case because we consider sheaths and not simplicial sheaths. So, what are the context we are going to consider? There is two contexts. The first one is the algebraic context. So what is algebraic context? C is the category of affine scheme. So we are over K, or in this talk we can take away K, which is C. So we take C, which is the category of, we take only finite type in this talk, finite type affine scheme. Over C. Tau is the étale topology. And P are the étale morphisms. And so we see that in that case, what we obtain, the geometric sheaths correspond in fact to the algebraic spaces. In fact, we don't have exactly the same algebraic spaces as Arkin, because first we suppose that here we only consider finite type object, and we don't have a separateness condition. We don't assume that the diagonal is quasi compact in that case. But it is rather the same as algebraic spaces. So maybe without some separateness condition. And now there is the analytic context. So in that case, C is the category of Stein. Tau is the topology, the natural topology, and pi, in some sense, this is also the etal morphism. So this is the biallomorphic morphism, a locally biallomorphic morphism. And what we obtain is what we call the geometric sheets are the analytic spaces. And for the same reason, we obtain some spaces which are not analytic spaces in the usual sense, because we don't have this separateness condition. So we can have, for instance, quotient of which are not defined as analytic space in the natural, in the usual sense, and which are defined in this sense. And now there is some something which I call the to change of context, and which is the way to define analytification. So if I have two contexts, C, to P and D, rho and Q, if I have a functor F from C to D, which is continuous for the topology, I will assume that it is left exact, and that F sends P to Q. Then in fact, by this we have a map. We go from the sheaf over C to the sheaf over D, and in fact this sends the geometric sheaf to the geometric sheaf. So we can apply this if we consider the analytic the analytification of an affine scheme over C, and so we can define what is the analytification of an algebraic space by this process. So now I will speak a little about stack, maybe, because in this conference we have to speak about stack. And this is third part. And the third part I will call this moduli of objects in a DG category. So I consider T, which is a DG category, and I want to define a space. We classify the object in this category. But in fact, we are not going to consider this category because T may have too many objects or maybe too few. So in fact, we are going to classify not the object in this category, but the object in T at perfect, in some sense. So what we want to classify, this is the covariant perfect T of DG modules. So we call this empty. So we want to define this space, and I will make some remark about this object before define it. So this is a moduli problem. So what we want to obtain if A is any K-algebra. We want to associate an empty A, which is something which classifies the so T op tensor A DG modules. And in fact, we are going to consider only not the perfect, but I will call the pseudo-perfect, but it is just a perfect object here. But we can make the following remark. So this is a classifying space, so you can consider here as a simplicial set. And what we want that the psi zero of empty A is exactly the set of so quasi-isomorphism classes of such object. The pi 1 in some x will be the automorphism of x. But if we consider now the pi I of x, what we will recover is the x 1 minus I of x. And in general, this is not zero, so there is no reason. So this is the reason why we cannot consider only the one stack. Well, so we have to consider n or infinity stack. So this is the first remark. So, and the second remark, in the same way, we see that the x I for I positive are not zero. Also, we want to consider also this. And this is in general is not zero for I. And in fact this group are in relation with the virtual tangent space, and this is something which is linked with the derived algebraic geometry, and this is the reason why the good object, in fact, we are going to consider empty, is what we call a derived stack. So we are going to consider empty, which is what I call a D minus one stack. And I will explain, I don't know if I have time to explain what is exactly, but what is a D minus one stack? This is a functor from the simplicial K-algebra two simplicial sets. We want to have some condition, which is, for instance, we want to take care of the quasi-equivalence in this category. We want also to take care of the topology that we have in this one. And there is a way to define what is a D minus stack, and there is also, in the same way we have defined what is a context for sheaf, we can define also a homotopical geometric context, and in the same way we can define what is a n geometric D minus stack. And what is important is that the is the following theorem, which is the key result, which is the theorem of Bertrand and Haas, which says that if T is a saturated DG category, the the stack, the derived stack NT, which is defined in this black box, is locally, so it's not locally N geometric, locally geometric, and locally of finite type. So now we are going to come back to our problem, but maybe I will make another remark about this one. If I take MT of A, if I consider the restriction of MT on the K-algebra, in fact, so I consider no A is the K-algebra, no, not a simplicial one. So as I told you, this classifies the T op tensor A perfect, so DG modules E. Now I say that E is rigid if and only if the xi is not exactly the definition, but sometimes the xi are zero for negative I. And by what I have, but this property, we see that if we consider only the rigid object, all the pi for I greater than 1 are zero, that in fact, if we restrict to the rigid object, this is a one stack. And if we assume more that E is rigid and what I call simple, that means that, in fact, the x0 of EE is isomorphic to A. We can see that the pi0 of MT simple is, in the case where K is saturated, I always in this case, is, in fact, an algebraic space. But to have this result, which is only a result on algebraic space, we need all the machinery of derived stack. So this is not for the pleasure we speak about derived stack. We need it to prove this theorem on algebraic space. And now we can apply this to our situation. So maybe some idea of the proof. So we have x, which is now the analytic, so smooth, compact analytic variety. T, which is the DG category of perfect complexes. And the hypothesis is that T is saturated. And we want to prove that X, in that case, is algebraic. The idea is the following. We consider this stack, MT, which is a stack we parameterize the perfect T of modules. We consider the simple object, pi zero of this one. I call this MX. And by this theorem, or not maybe MX, I don't know, MB, is an algebraic space. And the part of the proof is the following, is to show that, in fact, the analytification of this algebraic space, the analytification in the sense of the context I have defined before, is in fact equal to MX, which is defined by the following. MX is the analytic in the sheaf on 10 spaces defined by the following. So Mx to any Stein S associate the derived category I called D X cross S simp, which is defined by the following. So D X cross S is a derived category of O X cross S modules, and this, so I take E, yes, E, which is a complex of O X cross S modules, and I say that E belongs to D X cross S simp if and only if E is perfect and simple, and simple means the following. For any point S, we can consider the inclusion of X in X cross S, and we want that the, so I call it Xi S, we consider the inverse image of E, and we want that this is simple in the sense, maybe I write, yes. So what I want, that the Xi of LGS E is zero for negative I, and the X0 is O X. This is a, so once we have this, by the theorem, we know that MX, so MX is an algebraic, or maybe an algebraic analytic space, because this is the analytification of an algebraic space by the theorem. And now there is an embedding of X in Mx, which from X point X to the skyscraper sheaf Kx. It's very easy to verify that this is a simple object in Dx. And now Xi is an etal monomorphism. So we have to prove this. And from this, we deduce that X is also an algebraic space. So we have also to prove that it is easier the converse, that is that if X is an algebraic space, the DG category is saturated, which is which is an easy part of the theorem. Okay, so.